more than possessions. Last week, in the first 13 verses of the 16th chapter of Luke's gospel, we talked about our possessions a little bit and what we are doing with what we have. That was our question last week. What are you doing with what you have? Today, of course, we continue on in the 16th chapter with these verses of 19 through 31, and we ask ourselves, or we make the statement, that God wants us to realize that there is more than possessions in our world and life. You see, today, Luke continues his message around the topic of stewardship as a follower of Christ, to be good stewards of what we have been given. The key to understanding this passage is revealed to us in the 31st verse, as Abraham responds to the rich man by saying, "If they do not listen to Moses and the prophets," in other words, what makes you think that they're going to listen to anyone that we send from the dead? "Neither will they be convinced if someone rises from the dead." And of course, we know that that reference is to the resurrection of Christ that is yet to be. It says they're not going to listen because they seem to know it all. The response here in verse 31 frames all the verses that come before it in this parable today. It tells us the story of a very rich man who is not named, that has made his way to eternity and finds himself in the midst of hell, in agony, in the lake of fire. He is being burned but not consumed. He is in torment. The rich man figures out for himself that he has interpreted the scriptures wrong and that it's the cause of his suffering. And as he realizes this, he begs Father Abraham to send Lazarus with just a bit of cool water to drop it on the tip of his tongue. Can you imagine being that thirsty to know that you wanted something to drink so bad? Have you ever done something where you could not wait for that break to come so that you knew that you were going to be able to get a cold drink of water? I can remember, as many of you might can, working on the farm in tobacco time or in the vegetable time, and there was a certain time in the morning because many times we were at the end of the row waiting for the sun to come up, which was not my favorite time of day, I will tell you, to be able to get into that field and start your day. So at about 10 o'clock every morning, it was what?
Break time.
It was break time. And those were the best Pepsis and Cokes and peanuts and nabs you've ever had in your life. I mean, they were awesome. A moon pie, whatever it might be. Those were awesome times, because if you were like my siblings and myself, there was breakfast cooked, but who in the world wants to eat that early in the morning? We were just kind of walking around, you know, being pushed this way and that way. Get yourself where you belong. Get on that tractor. Get on that harvester. Get on that, yay, put them sticks over here. It was that the fun joy. Get those baskets. Get them to the end of the row. Get the buckets. Get the trailer. Whatever you had to do, you were ready. You were out there. So that was like that cool drink of water. You couldn't wait, and that was the best. And you can think of, here you are dying of thirst. Here you are being burned by flames. And you're just asking for just a drop of water. But yet in the life that you've lived on earth, you didn't see the people who had the drop of water. You could have cared less who they were. You walked by them. You walked over them. You stepped over them. You saw them every day as you left your home. The gates of your house, there they laid, and you did not bother to give them a crumb from your table or a drink of water. So here in the midst of hell, the unknown man is asking Abraham to just send Lazarus over with a little bit of water on the tip of his finger to drop on the tip of my tongue. And he begs for this. He even begs Abraham to send Lazarus back to warn his five brothers and family and friends of the torment that he's in, to tell them how he's living now and what's happening, to warn them of the mistakes that he has made in following his own path instead of God's path. The story in Luke's gospel is not a popular one for us to preach in this day and time that we live in. You see, because we're living in a world today that is so full of prosperity theology. It's out there at every turn. It's on the TV every time we turn it on the inspirational channels and all those kind of things. And people are out there telling us that our world is full of theology based on if we do good and make it in this world, that God has truly blessed us, oh, with all kinds of things and stuff. You see, churches today run wild with prosperity theology in an attempt to justify our wealth. And to also, many say it is a sign from God of how He has blessed us. But you know, that's not what Jesus says. Jesus told the Pharisees this parable as a response to such thinking in the lives of the Pharisees. He was telling them of what was going on. He said, you think that you earn it because you're listening to the laws, you're following the laws of the Old Testament, of the scrolls. Here you are, you're following that. And he's saying no. He told this parable as a response for the lives of the Pharisees, using the laws of Deuteronomy as the foundation of their attitude surrounding their wealth. The Pharisees sought to tie that wealth to their faith as a sign that God was blessing them for being righteous in the eyes of God. Now, when we start thinking that we are righteous in the eyes of God instead of being humble, we have kind of missed the point. You see, Jesus seeks to turn that kind of thinking around, to set it, as it says, on its ear. Jesus seeks to reinterpret for his hearers today and then of the laws and the prophets. And he places the responsibility of such wealth and what one does with it squarely back on our own shoulders. Because you and I are responsible for our own faith, our own salvation of accepting and believing and worshiping and growing. That is on us to be able to do because it's out there everywhere for us every day. God's Word is at every portal. All we have to do is pick it up. All we have to do is read it for ourselves. All we have to do is to think about it. All we have to do is to put it into place and to read it, not only read it by quietly, but read it out loud. To read it out loud, to speak it, to sing it, to share it, to know it. If you were in my house on Friday or Saturday, you would say, what in the world is she doing? Because you would hear me. You would hear me reading out loud God's Word. And you would hear me going through and planning and working on the worship service. And you would hear me singing the first verse or two or the first little bit to make sure that has the words, even though I know most of them. I think that's it. That's the one it needs to be. It needs to be in there. You would hear me doing all those things, and that's how it kind of all comes together, because during the week when I'm riding around and doing stuff, I'm already thinking about that because I try to read what's coming up for next week on Sunday or Monday. And I think about which one it's going to be, which one makes the biggest difference, which one speaks to what's going on. And sometime during that week, something is going to happen. And it hasn't failed me yet. And sometimes it does change, though. But God's Word has got you listening. You're seeking God's Word. You're seeking God out in the midst of all. And all of a sudden it comes. It's what you need to see. It's what you need to do. In the midst of it all, God is there. You see, we find ourselves once again with the theme of stewardship and its prominent place in God's kingdom. And that is giving back. That is giving what God has given us, that blessing back. Sharing it with those around us. Sharing it with the place that we have pledged to be a part of. Sharing it with those that we love and care for. But also sharing it with the house of God. Giving back those possessions, a portion always, but also helping others along our way. And if we do the things that we need to be doing, if we were tithing and giving and sharing God's word everywhere with everybody, the way we say we do, the way we think we do, you know, when you would look at the back of your bulletin on Sunday, I know some of you, that's the first thing you do when you come in, you'll say, Lord, we're down $11,000. What in the world are we going to do? And that's all you think about. Well, if you think about that, what are you doing to make a difference in it? What have you thought about? God tells us right here that we are to be about serving Him. We are responsible for our own. It puts it back on us, our responsibility of loving and sharing and caring, our responsibility of giving. You see, the rich man in his lifetime had everything that he could think of. He had every servant, he had every animal, he had everything out there. He had no wants as far as earthly possessions. He had people waiting on him. His tables were always full. All that Lazarus wanted was the crumbs that fell from his table. He was starving to death. He was living his life, somebody that was overlooked, somebody that no one cared for. Well, you know, I don't know, God didn't create me that way, not to look at someone else, not to care about someone else. And sometimes even to my own disadvantage, once in a while I do it. I help those other people. I have given people the last dollar that I had in with me. And even in my life years ago, I have actually given somebody the last dollar I had. But you know what? God gave me another dollar. God gave me something to do so that I would make another dollar, that I would have another day to do something with. Here, this man has lived his life serving himself, trying to do what? To be righteous through the Old Testament book of Deuteronomy, the Leviticus and the Deuteronomy laws, to say, wow. And when he dies and is buried, his body and it, his spirit, his soul goes, it does not go to heaven. It goes to Hades, and there he is burning. And over on the other side of that deep chasm, he sees Abraham, Father Abraham, and Lazarus walking around talking. And Lazarus is healed, and Lazarus is well. And Lazarus is being fed, and Lazarus has got that drink of water that he so wanted at the gate. He's got the food that he needs to eat, and here this guy finally sees it, but it's too late. And he wants somebody to say, please just go back and tell my family. Tell my brothers, tell my family, tell my friends, because they're living the same kind of life that I live, that I have lived on earth. If I can't be saved, save them. And Abraham says, he's a little harsh, but he says, you know what? The whole time people have been going around preaching and teaching and telling. They've had Moses, they've had the prophets, they are going to have the disciples before long. They're going to have Jesus. And he tells them, even if what? Someone raises from the dead, is resurrected from the dead, they probably won't even listen. They're not going to listen then because they think they are right. In other words, their hearts are hardened. You see, the rich man suffers in the afterlife because of his inattention to being responsible with his great wealth during his earthly life. He had great wealth on earth and he did not do well with it, especially as it related to the poor and those people around him who were the untouchables. You know, you and I are not far removed from that today because we see untouchables all around us. In our world today, they're everywhere. Sometimes we get angry because we think, Lord, look at them standing out there. If they can stand out there in the sunshine and hold a bucket or a sign, to be sure they could get a job. I hear it all the time. We don't know. And I do know that there are people that hurt other people by standing out there when they could actually truly work. That's how they make their living. But you know, that's not for you and I to judge. That's for God to judge them, not us. They will have to stand before God and make that before him, before they enter. You know, we have to take care of ourselves, and people will say, well, you know, I work hard for my money, and I'm sure not just going to give it away because I don't like what they do with my money. Well, we know when you give it away, guess what? It's no longer your money. It's the same thing when people give something to the church. They get real upset because we didn't spend the money the way they thought it should have been spent. So guess what? They did not give up their money. They wanted control of where it went and how it was spent. Instead of saying, I want you to have it, do with it whatever you feel is best to serve other people. And it might mean starting a ministry or doing something else. It might mean just standing out there. It might be just being a little more compassionate. You see, Jesus seeks to relate to those listening that you and I are held accountable by God for our own life, for all that we are, and for all that we own. You see, both the rich man and Lazarus are held responsible for who they were and what they did or did not do with what they had. The rich man's pleading and begging for someone to warn goes unheeded, as Jesus plainly states that God has given everyone the same guides to listen in this world. We've all got the same chance. You see, our lives will be judged according to our response to those guides and their instructions. You see, that's not so popular in this world today because people don't like to hear when we haven't done something we should be doing. When it's a culture that we live in that is so obsessed with instant gratification, the pursuit of wealth, and the right for their 15 minutes of fame. And yet in all of this, you and I, the church, must seek to boldly proclaim this message each and every day of our lives to a culture which demands accountability in relation to one's possessions. You see, the world we live in counts things by what people do with what they have, what kind of house they live in, what kind of clothes they wear, what kind of cars they drive, what kind of things they own. You see, that's what the world looks at, and it's so hard for us to figure it out sometimes. You see, and yet in all of this, you and I must boldly proclaim this message. How boldly do we proclaim this message each day? You see, such accountability includes our interpretation of the scripture that God has entrusted you and I, and how that interpretation plays out in our everyday lives. Think about this. In 1962, four young musicians auditioned for Decca Records. The record executives of that day dismissed them, saying, "We don't like their sound. Groups of guitars are on their way out." So the Beatles left Decca Records that day without a contract. You see, we had best be careful as to what we base our decisions on in life. Are we making bad choices? Are we making big mistakes? You see, Jesus' parable reminds us of the implications and the consequences of the decisions that we make each and every day. God's Word tells us about it all the time. All we have to do is read it. And it might be some of those parts we don't like to read. After all, life according to this parable is so much more than our possessions. Let us pray.